Hello, and welcome to the reading of the Yuma Sun. This is Joyce Vesper, your Sun Sounds of Arizona Radio Reading Service volunteer broadcaster. Today I'll be reading some of the following articles. Two bodies with gunshot wounds found in Winter Haven. Small wall construction projects coming to Yuma. Ketchin Casino donates to Baja California nonprofit. Our first article today, Two Bodies with Gunshot Wounds Found in Winter Haven, is written by James Gilbert. The Imperial County Sheriff's Office is investigating the deaths of two men found in Winter Haven late Friday evening. At about 6:30 p.m., deputies from the patrol division responded to a residence in the 500 block of Railroad Avenue following a report of two deceased individuals at the scene. Upon arrival, deputies discovered the bodies of two adult males, both of whom appeared to have died from gunshot wounds. The names of the victims have not been released, pending notification of next of kin. The ICSO's Investigations Unit has launched a probe into the deaths with assistance from its Scientific Investigation Unit and the coroner's office. The case is being treated as a suspicious death investigation. Preliminary reports suggest that there are no outstanding suspects, and ICSO emphasized there is currently no known threat to public safety. The investigation is ongoing. ICSO is asking anyone with information to come forward. Investigators can be contacted at 442-265-2052. James Gilbert, Sun staff writer, wrote, Two bodies with gunshot wounds found in Winter Haven. James Gilbert writes, Smart wall construction projects coming to Yuma. Major smart wall projects in Yuma and El Centro are among 10 contracts totaling $4.5 billion that was recently awarded by the Department of Homeland Security and U.S. Customs and Border Protection, officials announced on Friday. The funding part of President Donald Trump's One Big Beautiful Bill Act marks the latest push to expand border infrastructure along the U.S.-Mexican border. The contracts, issued between September 15th and September 30th, will fund construction of about 230 miles of smart wall barriers and nearly 400 miles of advanced border security technology across multiple sectors, CBP said in a statement. These awards represent a turning point in border security, Commissioner Rodney Scott of CBP stated. The smart wall means more miles of barriers, more technology, and more capability for our agents on the ground. This is how you take control of the border. Yuma and El Centro lead early construction. Among the first projects funded by the OBBB Act is the Yuma One project, awarded to Barnard Spencer Joint Venture for $199.5 million. This includes the installation of approximately 60 miles of system attributes across the Yuma sector, spanning Arizona and California. In California's El Centro and San Diego sectors, the El Centro One project was awarded to Fisher Sand and Gravel Company for $574 million. That project will add about 8 miles of new smart wall and 63 miles of system attributes, including patrol roads, lighting, cameras, and other surveillance technology. Smart wall combines barriers, tech, and waterborne defense. Described by officials as the next-generation border security system, the smart wall integrates steel barriers with high-tech systems including ground sensors, towers, floodlights, cameras, and waterborne barriers along rivers and canals. DHS said the technology will be deployed not only in the new construction areas, but also to bolster existing fencing in areas where contracts were previously canceled. To expedite the construction, DHS Secretary Kristi Noem issued waivers allowing immediate work on 9 miles of smart wall in the San Diego sector and 30 miles in the El Paso sector. Projects span entire southwest border. Other major projects funded under OBBB Act include Tucson One Project, $606.9 million for 23 miles of new secondary wall and 66 miles of tech system in the Tucson-Yuma sectors. El Paso Projects 1 through 3 combined total of over $1.5 billion for 72 miles of new and replacement wall, along with more than 140 miles of surveillance and detection technology. Del Rio Projects 1 and 2, more than $929 million to install 32 miles of smart walls and 63 miles of waterborne barrier systems in the Eagle Pass area of Texas. Rio Grande Valley Project, $96.1 million to construct a 17-mile waterborne barrier in the Cameron County in Texas. Additionally, CBP has awarded more than $550 million in support contracts to facilitate the construction effort, and the agency expects more awards in the coming months. The contracts mark the first round of funding from OBBB Act, a legislative package signed into law in 2024 that reallocated unused border wall funding from prior years and added new appropriations for smart wall development. This article, written by James Gilbert, Smart Wall Construction Projects Coming to Yuma. Ketchin Casino donates to Baja California nonprofit. The article is written by Joe Taposti. If you've ever been to a casino, you may have been asked to join their Players Club. Most programs offer special incentives for frequent visitors, including discounts on lodging and special gifts. In many cases, gifts can range from casino-branded merchandise to appliances. Now, if those gifts aren't picked up, they tend to take up space, a problem with an easy fix for Ketchin Casino and Resort. Esther Saldana and Fernando Zavala, members of the casino's marketing team, scoured the region to see which organizations would benefit from the items. Zavala, who was tasked with serving Southern California and Baja California, chose the TMONA, or Tomona Foundation, headquartered in Mexicali. On Friday, October 10th, the Ketchin Casino presented the Tomona Foundation with a variety of items that included housewares, appliances, and blankets. Tomona offers support services to children battling cancer and their families. On any given day, more than 100 families are provided support by the foundation with items such as medicine, personal care items, and clothing if available. The Ketchin Casino and Resort has been here for more than 20 years. Our job isn't just to invite people to the resort, to the casino, concerts, and other events, but to actively participate in our communities, said Zavala. This is the least we can do for an organization that does so much for children in need. Some of the families live in houses made of cardboard and sleep on dirt floors, and on top of their hardships, they have a child fighting for their lives, said Alejandro Zatarian with the Tomona Foundation. One item that's always in demand is chemo catheters, which we couldn't buy without the help of the donors, said Zatarian. In total, the nonprofit drove away with a truck and trailer packed with donations. We are grateful that the tribe and the casino thought of us, and these items will make a huge difference in the lives of the families going through one of the hardest times of their lives, Zatarian said. Joe Taposti wrote, Ketchin Casino donates to Baja California nonprofit. Josh Bootson writes, Yuma launches infant swim rescue program. As part of its year-round efforts to promote water safety, the city of Yuma has partnered with the Infant Swimming Resource to teach water survival techniques to children across the Yuma region. ISR teaches infants and young children critical life-saving water skills, including how to float or reach safety if they enter the water unexpectedly. Classes will take place October 27th through December 12th at one of the city's public pool locations. Each child and parent guardian attends a 10-minute one-on-one session on every day for 6 weeks, Monday through Friday between 9 a.m. to noon. Water safety is a year-round concern for families in our community, said Recreation Manager A.J. Mosqueda. The ISR program gives parents peace of mind by equipping even our youngest swimmers with life-saving skills, while also educating families on best practices around the water. Families will only pay a fraction of the typical ISR cost due to a partnership between the Prison Hill Liquid Foundation and the city's U.S. Consumers Product Safety Commission. Standard lessons are valued at about $855, but Yuma families will pay $205 per child, a $100 deposit, and an $105 ISR registration. Families enrolling multiple children will pay only $100 deposit per family and a $105 ISR registration per child. Space is limited to 18 children and will be offered on a first-come, first-served basis. Participation is not limited to city residents. ISR lessons are customized for each individual child, guided by certified instructors. Infants as young as 6 months old who can sit independently are taught to hold their breath underwater, roll onto their backs, float, rest, and breathe until help arrives. Toddlers and young children up to 6 years old learn to combine swimming and floating techniques to reach safety. To register, parents should email ISR instructor Kelly Sparks at kelly.sparks@infantsswim.com to reserve a spot and arrange payment. ISR is the fast, most effective way for children to safely learn confidence and competence in the water, Sparks said. Before beginning the lessons, each child's medical history is reviewed by medical professionals to identify potential concerns and maximum program safety. Parents get to learn alongside their children, receiving water safety and drowning prevention training, and may join their child in the water to reinforce safe habits. This partnership furthers the mission of the Greater Yuma Water Safety Alliance, a regional coalition of governments, health providers, public safety agencies, and community partners, which identified expanding access to swim lessons as a community priority. For more information on ISR lessons, the GYWSA, or Drowning Prevention Techniques, visit https://sparksswimisr.com/, or contact A.J. Mosqueda at 928-373-5201. Josh Bootson of the Sun staff wrote, Yuma launches infant swim rescue program. James Gilbert writes, County OK roof replacement for Juvenile Justice Center. The Yuma County Board of Supervisors approved a contract to replace the aging roofs at the Juvenile Justice Center, awarding the $545,667 project to M&M Roofing during its October 6th meeting. The supervisors approved the contract as part of the board's consent agenda. The two buildings at the Juvenile Justice Center have had the same roof since the facility was built in 2002. A 2024 facilities condition assessment found both roofs had reached the end of their usable life with visible deterioration caused by age, weather, and sun exposure. That roof is original to the building from 2002, said County Administrator Ian McGaughey. We've been patching as needed with leaks and whatnot, but with the harsh Yuma sun and other factors, it was time to do the project and get them replaced. The county issued a request for proposals in August. 9 contractors attended a pre-bid meeting, and 5 submitted sealed bids by September 23rd, the deadline. M&M Roofing was selected as the lowest bidder and will provide a 20-year warranty on the new roofs. We're looking at a completion date by the end of the year, McGaughey said. So if it starts mid-October, I would say mid-January, early part of next year. This article, County OK's Roof Replacement for Juvenile Justice Center, was written by James Gilbert of the Sun staff. From the editors of McMeel Syndication comes the article, News of the Weird, The Passing Parade. In Russia, doctors at the Kirov Regional Clinical Hospital were astounded when a 65-year-old man presented with a tumor the size of his head growing from the back of his neck, the New York Post reported. The surgeons were able to remove the tumor September 22nd and identified it as a benign lipoma, a fatty lump that grows between the skin and the muscle. The patient told doctors he'd been living with the lump for 16 years and had tried treating it with simple ointments, but without success. Igor Popirin, head of surgery at the hospital, said many patients postpone a visit to a specialist, hoping that the formation will disappear on its own. The only effective treatment is surgical removal. Saw that coming. On September 22nd, as Lubbock, Texas Mounted Police officers Bryson Lewis and William Trotter assisted with routine patrol, they stopped a man who was walking in the road rather than on the sidewalk. The officers thought 42-year-old Joseph Ramirez was acting suspiciously, and when they asked to check his pockets, he said no. Then Trotter joked that he had a narcotics-smelling horse, and Ramirez took off running. He took it seriously, and the race was on, Trotter said. But the police horses caught up with him quickly, and Ramirez was charged with evading arrest and tampering with physical evidence with the intent to impair. Chasing bad guys is part of the fun in it for us, Lewis said. So when you get to chase down a bad guy and not even get tired, it's a good day. People with issues. Yaz Chapman, 34, of Portsmouth, Hampshire, England, was diagnosed at age 4 with a pica. That is a disorder that involves eating items that are not typically thought of as food. As a child, she tried talcum powder, chalk, and cigarette rolling papers. According to the LAD Bible, the mom of 4 currently eats about 10 sheets of paper each day. I look forward to the postman, Chapman said. Certain papers taste different and they have different textures. I'll rip a corner off just to test it. She said she drinks plenty of water to help with constipation. When someone likes chocolate and they're craving something sweet, they eat it and they feel those happy chemicals being released in their brain. It's like that for me, Chapman said, about living with pica. This article from the editors of McMeel Syndication, News of the Weird. James Gilbert writes, police urges patience during move to new alarm registration system. The Yuma Police Department is currently transitioning to a new alarm registration system, replacing its previous vendor, Cry Wolf, with a new platform. The change, which affects how residents register and manage their alarm permits, has caused confusion among some members of the community. Sergeant Lori Franklin, spokesperson for the Yuma Police Department, said the transition is part of an effort to improve the city's false alarm reduction program. The new system will allow residents to register alarms, track false alarms, and manage related records in one place, the same way that Cry Wolf did. For our general community to register their alarms, it's going to work the exact same way, Franklin said. It's just going to take us time to transition from the old system, Cry Wolf, to the new one. Despite the changeover, residents are being assured that the police response will not be affected. If your alarm goes off, officers will still respond to the call whether the system is registered or not, Franklin said. We understand that there are going to be some hiccups as we transition, but the service is going to stay the same. However, some residents have expressed frustration with the process. One resident, who recently attempted to update his alarm system, told the Yuba Sun that he was told he needed to be compliant by November 1st or risk being fined, despite not being able to register online. After calling the city's number, 928-373-5000, extension 6155, he was told to email his permit information instead. He had already registered through Cry Wolf and was informed that his data would transfer to a new system. Still, he found the instructions unclear. The whole process is confusing, from the timeline to the registration, he said, and there's no clear link to the old Cry Wolf system anymore. Why not wait until the new system is active before asking people to update? Franklin acknowledged the transition may create temporary challenges, but emphasized that no fines or penalties will be issued during this time. They're not going to be charging fees or fines or anything like that, Franklin said. We understand it's going to take a minute, so we just ask the community to be patient with us while we're transitioning. While the city's alarms registration website remains offline, residents can call the Yuma Police Department at 928-373-5000, extension 6155, to have their information updated manually. James Gilbert wrote, police urges patience during move to new alarm registration system. And here are letters to the editor. Thanks to donors, volunteers. Thank you so much for the beautiful article, Yuma Crossing Railroad Going Full Steam Ahead. Thanks to Cubs, October 7th. And everyone involved in having it be the front page with color photos to properly acknowledge the Cub Scouts' hard work in cleaning mud from our canyon track. Home Depot donated 24 buckets, which made the sew, and the 12 smaller 3-gallon sizes were perfect for the 5- and 6-year-olds, while the 12.5 gallons made it possible to move the material away from the canyon to avoid future mud buildup. Over 750,000 volunteer hours to date have built the railroad. APS did turn down our 3 grant applications for power, finally saying our educational nonprofit did not qualify under their giving criteria. STIDI staff thought that they had a $10,000 credit with APS for the substantial work performed to develop the West Wetlands Park. When we obtained our usage agreement and overall building permit, which included donated electrical engineering for entire railroad park, city staff requested the credit be transferred to Riverside Park. We were told, APS responded, what credit? Apparently, the assumed credit did not exist, and the reason for us filing the $10,000 grant applications. A new power pole at the north end of the park was recently installed, and we are hoping that the previous substandard wire feeding the limited park lighting was also upgraded at the same time. It is our understanding APS is now looking into that circuit's capability as to whether it can support the railroad's need for power. We are keeping our fingers crossed, says Chuck Finella, Yuma Territory Live Steamers Senior Project Coordinator. U.S. citizenship was an accident of birth. I consider myself to be a liberal in politics and morals, although I voted for Reagan first term, but definitely not his second. I am sick of the deportations currently enacted by the GOP, especially since the thugs send these poor people to hellholes where they have never been. I searched Google and several legal sites asking, what is the criminal penalty for being in the United States without legally accepted papers? The consistent answer for the first-time offense is that it is a simple misdemeanor. If I, as a white male, commit a misdemeanor, such as speeding while not being drunk, I simply pay a fine of $100, perhaps, as I should, or if I park my RV so near the bumper extends a foot over the sidewalk, a kind policeman or woman will come and politely ask me to move the RV a foot, a misdemeanor if I don't. They will not send me to South America's hellhole. White power has always ruled in the USA, even before I was born, and I am now 87 years old. I read of a woman who carried her 2 very young children and their meager belongings and made a treacherous trip from South or Central America to the United States to avoid prosecution after her husband was murdered by the government and to obtain freedom. I would be proud to live next to her, whether or not she has some paper from our government allowing her to be here. The USA, the supposed home of freedom, is free only for a select few. I didn't do a damn thing to earn citizenship except by being born in Arkansas. None of us deserve USA citizenship. Not the politicians, not the military personnel, not the millionaires, not any of us. All it takes is an accident of birth. We are just here, or if we pass the citizenship test. Why can't we accept all of us, born here or not, legal or not? The USA is a huge country. Signed, John Morgan from Yuma. And those are letters to the editor to the Yuma Sun. Mac Friday writes, the only place in the world, version 2. Last football season, I wrote about one of the most unique environments I've ever had the pleasure of being a part of. Friday night provided a new perspective on the environment, so why not readdress it? If you were to traverse Interstate 8 on a Friday night in between Dateland and Yuma, you would come across an oasis of light and sound, a welcome break of civilization in the barren desert landscape. When the sun sets and the sounds of cracking pads and referee whistles fill the air, Buckeye Field feels like the only place in the world. This past Friday, the latest installment of the Telegraph Pass Cup rivalry felt particularly special as the skies opened up before kickoff, pouring down rain that lasted for the majority of the contest. The phrase Friday Night Lights is mostly associated with small-town Texas football, but as a native Texan, Buckeye Field is the quintessential Friday Night Lights deep in the southwestern part of the Arizona desert. Mac Friday wrote, The Only Place in the World, version 2. And now we turn to the Yuma Sun obituaries. David Oliver Ariano, 69, from Yuma. Brenda L. Cutsforth, 74, from Yuma. Rachel Ann Garcia, 56, from Yuma. Gustavo Rodriguez Misa, 77, from San Luis. Rogelio Ramirez, 74, from Yuma. Cesario Lorera Sandoval, 59, from San Luis. Dennis Wayne Sikora, 74, from Yuma. Margaret Ann Taylor, 78, from Yuma. Sun Sounds of Arizona wishes to express its condolences to the friends and family members of their loved ones. And now we look at the weather forecast for today and the coming days. For Monday, we'll have a sunny day with a high near 88. The east wind will be 5 to 10 miles per hour, becoming west-southwest in the morning. The winds could gust up as high as 20 miles per hour. On Tuesday, it will be sunny with a high near 82, west winds of 5 to 10 miles per hour. Wednesday, the 14th, it'll be sunny with a high near 80, northwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour with gusts as high as 20 miles per hour. Thursday, sunny with a high near 83, north winds around 10 miles per hour with gusts as high as 20 miles per hour. On Friday, it'll be sunny with a high near 84, north winds around 5 miles per hour. And on Saturday, the 17th of October, it will be sunny with a high near 85, northeast wind around 5 miles per hour, becoming west-northwest in the afternoon. With the reading of the forecast, we come to the conclusion of today's Yuma Sun program. This has been Joyce Vesper, your Sun Sounds of Arizona Radio Reading Service volunteer broadcaster. Thank you so much for listening to the reading of the Yuma Sun on Sun Sounds of Arizona, a radio reading service. Stay healthy, everyone. Be well, be happy. Bye-bye.